This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. ما يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, for those of you expecting to learn a little bit of Taekwondo, you're in the wrong place. Maybe it might be more appropriate when you see my face coming up here, coming from Southeast Asia or something like that. But alhamdulillah, this is a ni'mah of Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy to all of mankind. And we have a very important topic to speak about today, and it's about the youth taking advantage of your youth before old age. And this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us and ordained us to do so. And this is a very important topic also because for all the elders who are all the youngsters and all the elders, it's very important because old people don't enter paradise. Old people, they don't enter paradise. So, for those who are older, you know, they might feel a little bit sad. But, alhamdulillah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he was approached by a woman, an old woman, and he asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "O Messenger of Allah, supplicate to Allah that Allah will enter me Jannah." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to her and said, "Old people don't enter paradise." And so she cried. She turned around and cried. Tears were in her eyes. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called her back and said to her, "Did you not hear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, 'بَعْدَ نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءَ فَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَبْكَارًا عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, "Indeed, we raised them up and we made them abkara, uruban atraba." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them young again, virgins, and of the same age. In other words, those who enter paradise are not old. All the old people, alhamdulillah, when you enter paradise, you'll be young again. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make all those who enter paradise young again. And this is one of the moments that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had in terms of the halal jokes that maybe you know, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in this story. And as for the youth, who are the youth? This is a very important topic to take advantage of the age in which we have strength, because the youth, this is an age, this is a time between two weaknesses, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Rum, "الذي الله الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعض ضعف قوة." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is He who created from weakness. I mean, in the beginning you start weak, and then after that weakness, He gave strength. And after that strength, and then after that, ثم جعل من بعض قوة ضعفا وشيبا. After that, after the strength became weak, you have weakness, a stage of weakness, and then you have your grades that come. And so this is a stage of strength, a stage in which a person is full of energy. And when we speak about the youth, it's not like teenagers or anything like that, like just the teenage years only. No. In Islam, even if you're 40, you're still considered, in fact, you're in the prime stage of your youth, even in your 40s. When you're 40, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ, revelation was revealed to him. This is a stage in which the strength of your body also is at pretty much close or at its peak, and also mentally, you're very strong. And so when you look during the times of the Messenger of Allah, all the people who carried the message and the ones who were responsible in conveying this message, they were the youth. Amongst the youth that the Prophet ﷺ even put in charge of the army of which Abu Bakr and Umar they were under. And this was Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. And so this is a prime age, and it's also an age in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will specifically ask us about. He will ask us from the time when we're young until we reach the age of puberty until the time that we die. But specifically, there will be a specific question about the youth, the age in which you have, you know, when you're in full strength and strong. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith, لا تزول قدم عبد يوم القيامة حتى يسأل عن أربع. And in another narration, عن خمس. The Prophet sallallahu amongst those, he said, first of all, he said, عن عمره فيما أفنى, his age, how he used up his age, and how he lived. And then specifically, وَأَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَهِ, and about his youth, how he spent it. So there's a specific question specifically concerning the age in which a person is a youth. And also, of course, this is the age in which a person is full of energy. At the same time, it's also an age in which there are a lot of trials and tribulations and difficulties that he has to, that youth, the person who's young, has to conquer. And concerning his desires, and also there are many things that are tests for him, especially living in such a society that we are living in the West. And that's why there are also the reward is also great. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there will be seven people, سَبْعَةٌ يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى تَحْتَ ظِلِّ عَرْشِ. There will be seven groups of people, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade them on the Day of Judgment, under His throne, on the day in which there's no shade except His shade, except for the shade of Allah. Imam Adil, an Imam who is just. And right after that, immediately, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shabun nasha'a fi ta'atillah." A youth that grows up worshipping or in obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know how important strong leadership and righteous and good leadership and justice, a just ruler is. Because this benefits the whole ummah when you have a leader. I mean, in a community where you have a leader that is just, that applies the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the land. Right afterwards, showing the importance also, after a just leader, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And that's why we have to take care of the youth. We have to take care of the young people. And we have to put them also in areas where they can carry on the torch. Because they are the future
of this ummah, the youth. And they are the ones who will carry this message from this generation to the next generation. And so that's why it's very important for us. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically ordered us to take care of upbringing and teaching the youth and being kind to them and making sure that we give them their time and we give them their rights. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Usikum bi shabab khayran, fa innahum araqu afidat." He said, I advise you to treat the youth, the shabab, the youth, kindly and in goodness, because they are the ones with soft hearts. And indeed, the Prophet said, "Allah wa inna Allah ba'athani bil hanafiyyah tis'a." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me with this pure tawheed, this religion of pure tawheed and easiness, with this pure tawheed, al hanafiyyah tis'a. فَحَلَفَنِ الشَّبَابِ. And the youth, they were the ones that allied with me. They accepted the message, وَخَالَفَنِ الشُّيُوخِ. But the elders, they were the ones who objected or did not accept the message. And so the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to take care of the youth. Take care of the youth carefully. And he also advised the youth to help them stay away from sins, so that they can be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly and avoid the different types of fitan. And he said, Ya ma'shar al-shabab, oh youth, man istata'a minkum al-ba'a falyatazawwaj. Whoever is able to get married, then let him do so. So the Prophet ﷺ guided the youth so that they can be upright. And so this is the responsibility of all those who have young people, in their authority, And this includes parents, fathers and mothers. And it also includes community members, that you also provide appropriate and proper activities for them also. When you look at the community in general, you see that the majority of our community, they are the youth. So when you look at the activities in the masjid though, we see that the majority of the masajids have activities geared towards elders or people who are older. But you have to realize that if the majority of the community, if they are the youth, you should give them their rights also and provide activities and provide programs that are geared towards the youth and also geared towards the women and geared towards the sisters, the young sisters who are going to be the future mothers also. And we have to be fair in that also and not have all our activities directed towards only the elders, or directed towards those who are over 40. Because when you look at the activities in many masajids, I don't know, I'm pretty sure, alhamdulillah, I hear a lot about this masjid, but in many masajids, in many areas, you have just activities directed towards only the elders, but the majority of the people in the community are young. And so we have to take that responsibility as parents and as community members and as leaders of the community also, because this is a responsibility upon all who are in position of authority. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ warned us, and he gave a grievous warning. He said, for those who do not take care of their responsibilities when they're put in those positions, including parents, مَا مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَسْتَوْعِيهِ اللَّهُ رَعِيَّةٍ. There's not a single servant whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given authority over a group or a people, except يَمُوتُ يَوْمَ يَمُوتُ وَهُوَ غَاشٍ لِرَعِيَّتِهِ إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. And if he's given that authority, and he dies on the day that he dies, and he is غَاشِم, and he doesn't take care of responsibility, he cheats and so forth, not giving them their rights towards the people who he's responsible for, including the leaders and so forth, of the Muslims, إِلَّا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Except that Allah will make haram for him, al-jannah, the paradise. And when you look at how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated the youth, he treated them with kindness, he used wisdom, and he realized the position that they were in. And that's why a companion, a shab, a young man, came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, just like with anyone who is young and living in society, you know, living in a society where, of course, there's going to be trials and tribulations, and you have this, you have natural desires. So this companion comes to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and listen to this question. And imagine if somebody asked the Imam this, what do you think the Imam would answer? But listen to what he asked. He said, "Ya, O Messenger of Allah," he spoke to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Idhin li bizzina ya Rasulullah." La ilaha illallah. He said, "Allow me to commit fornication." La ilaha illallah. "Allow me to commit zina." "Allow me to commit zina." What do you think would happen if a man, a young boy, or a young man comes to the Imam asking this question? What do you think? He might be scolded. He might be scolded. Maybe some people will say, whose child is this? It's asking this question, right? Some of our time, but listen to what the Prophet ﷺ, in his wisdom, what did he say? And this, you know, these are lessons that we can learn of how the youth, how they think. And he said, "Ya fata, afatallahu li'umdik." He said, "Oh young man, would you like something like that? I mean, would you be pleased with that for your mother? Would you want that for your mother?" And so of course he said, "No." He said, "Would you want that for your sister?" Of course he said, "No." And again he continued, "How about your aunt? Your auntie? From your mother's father's side? Wali Khalidik? Or from your mother's side?" And so the Prophet, this companion, now he understands. Because a lot of the youth, every time you tell them something, now they always want to know, sometimes they want to know the reasons also behind it. And you have to use wisdom also in speaking to them. And so after that, of course he said, you know, after that he mentioned to the man, and to the young man, he said, "When you do commit fornication, all you're doing is either committing fornication with somebody else's mother, or somebody else's sister, somebody else's daughter or aunt, and so forth." And so after that he said, "O Messenger of Allah, make dua for me, supplicate for me, O Messenger of Allah." And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Allahumma hassin farjah wa tahir qalbah wa afir dhamba." So he made dua for him. He said, "O Allah, make him chaste, and purify his heart, and forgive his sins." And so that young man, after hearing the way that the Prophet ﷺ spoke to him, he said, "I left from the Messenger of Allah." I mean, I left, and there wasn't a single person. There was not a single person on the face of this earth that was more beloved to me than the Messenger of Allah. Do you see how he treated the youth? With kindness, with wisdom, with understanding their situation also. And so he took care of them, and also he tried to remind them also to do good. The men and the women. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in hadith, another hadith, he said, "Allahumma barik li ummati fi buburiha." "Oh Allah, give barakah, give blessings to the early part of the day for my ummah." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-barakatu fi buquri ummati. Said the barakah, the blessing in time and everything that you do, is at the beginning of the day. And so he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he walked by his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, a young, of course she was very, very young during those days. And caring for her, wanting goodness for her, he said, Ya Fatima, qumi fashhadi hadhihi sa'adati yuqsim Allah fi al-arzaq, yuqsim Allah fi al-arzaq ala ribad. He said, oh Fatima, stand up. And lit up in this time, because he saw her after Fajr, and he saw that she was sleeping. So he went to remind her, he said, oh Fatima, this is the time in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah and gives provisions. Gives barakah in your time. Don't sleep during this time. Don't sleep during this time. So during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was concerned for the youngsters amongst the young ladies and also the young men. And also when the youth are strong, the enemies of Islam cannot attack Islam. In Al-Andalus, in Spain, when the Muslims were in control of Spain, the Christians, when they would send spies just to see the condition of the Muslims. So one of the occasions they sent a spy to check the condition of the youth, to check the condition of the Muslims and specifically the youth. And so he went and he passed by a Muslim youth in a valley, and he was shooting, he was crying. And so this Christian asked him, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And so he said, I shot 20 arrows and I missed twice. But he is practicing archery. He said, I missed twice, and he was crying. So he went back to his people. He said, you'll never be able to conquer them. And this guy, he missed twice and he was crying. And so later on, they sent again to check the condition of the Muslims. And then another person came, and he found somebody, a youth, a young man, he was crying. And he asked him, he said, why are you crying? So he was crying profusely, and he said, I'm crying because I just lost my girlfriend, my love. And that's why he was crying. He went back and he said, this is the time to attack. Because he knew the condition of the youth. And so that's why it's very important to the strength of the ummah is in the youth. And of course there are many trials and tribulations that come. Sometimes it's the dunya, the wealth, the woman, and the society in general, the desires and so forth. And that's why during the time of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he understood this. Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was in Medina, and wealth was being sent from all over the frontier, the Muslim frontier. Wealth was coming in left and right from all over. And then when he was coming in, he was crying. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was there. And he said, why are you crying? This is good news. It means we are getting all this wealth that's coming to Medina because of the victories of the Muslims. And so he said, why are you crying? So Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, أَخْشَى عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ تَفْتِنُهُمْ الدُّنْيَا. He said, because I fear that the Muslims will be tested by this dunya, by this wealth. And that's why he was crying. And so how do we ourselves take advantage of this youth, this age, and knowing the importance of it, knowing the importance of this stage? First of all, we have to realize, we have to teach our youth, and if you are a youth, then you have to learn and realize the purpose of your creation. That's the first thing, to strengthen the tawheed, realizing your objective in you being here on this earth. Because in this society nowadays, you have different types of people, different types of youth amongst the Muslims. You have some most people don't know the objective of life. You know, in England, I know everybody likes football. Everybody likes football. Think of a football game right now. You have the two goalposts, the goals on the left and on the right, one side and the other. The objective, of course, is to score, to kick the ball into this goal. If we were to take out the goalpost and toss it aside, and you told the two teams to play, what would happen? Would they be able to play? They wouldn't be able to play. All they would do was just run around, passing the ball to each other. Nobody would achieve anything. Nobody could win. Because there's no objective. You've taken the goals away already. All they would do is just running around. A lot of our youth are running around like that. They have no goals. They don't know why they're created. So we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for His worship. Like in Surah Al-Dhariyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and mankind except for my worship. And so, but in this society you have a lot of people, their life, it's either because they're concerned about sports. It's either football or cricket or whatever it is. And like if there's a major game coming up, that's all they're thinking about. And if you ask them questions about these players, they know everything about it. Let me give you an example. Let's just give them the example right now. I want to know, who's heard of David Beckham? I think most of us know, right? David Beckham. You know what kind of shoes he wears? What brand? What brand is he wearing?
Adidas.
Adidas, right? What kind of drink, soft drink, does he drink? Yes?
Pepsi.
What kind of shaver does he use?
Gillette.
MashaAllah. What kind of phone does he use? What company? What's, mobile phone company? What do you know? Vodafone? MashaAllah. Okay. What kind of sunglasses does he wear?
Police.
Okay. I want you to get, let's see if you can get this one. What kind of underwear does he wear? No, honestly. What kind of underwear does he wear? Anybody know? You guys don't know that? I'm sure somebody that knows, but they don't want to raise it. What is it? What kind of underwear does he wear? Maybe this is something new. Hmm? Where's Armani, right? I don't know. In America, they would know that. Alhamdulillah. But you see that, you even know what kind of shoes, what kind of drink. Where did you get this from? How did you know this? Is he drinking, really? Does he drink Pepsi?
Yeah.
He doesn't, really? maybe he doesn't. Maybe he likes it. Maybe he gets paid to say that, though. He gets paid to drink that. All these companies, they pay them big money. Why? Because people like them. People like them, they want to be like them. Everybody wants to bend it like Beckham, right? Everybody wants to be like them. And they know that. And you see that the youth, when you ask them these kinds of questions, mashallah, it's like the brand of shoes they wear, like sunglasses they wear. Mashallah, you guys don't even know that? Why? Because of all the adverts all over, everywhere. And they're paying the sports stars and movie stars millions and millions. And this is what our youth know. But when you ask them what the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, who was sent before the Hijrah to Medina to teach the Muslims to make da'wah in Medina, whose house did he stay in? And how did he make da'wah? Do you know any stories about that? many of our youth, they don't know, but they can name you all the starters for Manchester United very quickly, without even hesitating. And so, a lot of our youth, they don't know the objective in life. And you know, when you're young, a little kid, what's he concerned about? Man, his whole life revolves around that. Usually it just revolves around the thing that he's concerned about. It's just sometimes just a toy, a type of toy that his neighbor has. Like, he's really concerned about that. And if you take that away, he'll cry as if his father just passed away. Maybe his father passed away, he wouldn't cry that much. But if he loses that toy, if somebody takes that piece of toy away from him, he'll cry and cry as if the world is about to end. Because that's all he's concerned about. That's what he's thinking. That's his life. And then you go up. You know, you grow up and you grow past that stage. In this society, though, they don't want you to grow up. They want you to remain thinking that as a youth, you're still a child. You're still a child. They have a slogan in America, Toys R Us. They said, I want to be a Toys R Us kid. I don't want to grow up. Like, I don't know if you guys have that or not. I don't want to grow up. And so the youth at 13 and 14, our youth, they're playing video games. They're playing video games. They're worried about the latest games that are coming out. The latest shows and movies and things like that. When you look during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they already had the ham, the concern of this ummah in their hearts and in their actions. They were thinking about how to raise la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So, but our youth, how do we get past that stage? You have to teach them from the beginning and put this concern in their hearts, concern about increasing the faith, concern about the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And teach them how to stay away from sins. And provide Islamic knowledge, provide chances and put them in areas where they can seek knowledge. Because a lot of us, sometimes we don't realize when we tell our children, sometimes we send them to public school. We send them to the schools that don't teach Islam, that teach kufr 6 or 8 hours a day. And then you send your children to the Islamic classes just on Sunday. While they've been in school and being taught kufr and things like that for hours and hours and hours and hours, and you combat that with 2 hours on the weekend. And that's not enough. And then you expect your children to be good. You know what that is like? That's like throwing your son or daughter into a river or an ocean and telling him, don't get wet. I mean, it's impossible. You just throw him into the water and say, don't tell him not to get wet. That's not possible. And so that's why as Muslims, we should put that sense of responsibility in them, and make them love this deen and love the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make them realize the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. And this is how the companions were. The companions, what were they concerned about? Look at the concerns of the companions. The concerns of the companions. And you realize what they had in their hearts. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to the companions and he mentioned about the Dajjal, the Antichrist. He's speaking about many events when the Dajjal comes. And then he mentions about how many days he will stay on earth. And he tells the companions, he said, he will be on earth for 40 days, one yawmu kasana, one day like a year, and one day like a month, one day like a Jum'ah, like a week, and the other days, the remaining days, will be like the days that you have, like the normal days. He's speaking about the Dajjal and the trials and tribulations of the Dajjal. But you know what's going on in the heads of the minds of the companions? What are they concerned about? They're concerned about the prayer. They're worried about their prayers. And they say, they tell the Prophet, they ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, on that day that is like a year, is it enough for us to pray a day's worth of prayer? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds, he says, أَدْبِرُ لَهُ عَلَىٰ. He said, calculate the appropriate calculations. It's not enough for you to pray that one day, when the day is like a year. But you see from this hadith, you see the concern of the companions. They knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for the worship of Allah. The youth and the elders, they all had this instilled in them, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That everything that they did was to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the most important aspects of worship are the prayers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He invited His Messenger, when He invited His Messenger to the Isra al-Mi'raj, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the obligation of prayer personally. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to return and order the people to pray how many prayers? 50 prayers in a day and night. 50 prayers in a day and night. And may Allah have mercy upon Prophet Musa alayhi salam. When he went past Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Musa alayhi salam said, your people will not be able to endure it, will not be able to take this obligation. When his people, they had less than that, they were still negligent. 50 prayers, go back to your Lord and ask Him to decrease it. And He kept on going back and forth. And Allah kept on decreasing it. 45, 40, until finally there were only 5 prayers. Only 5 prayers. But if we perfect them, the Prophet ﷺ said this hadith in Sahih Muslim, if we perfect them, Allah will give us the equivalent of 50 prayers. But you know, why would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go back and forth all these times, when he knew that from the beginning that eventually it will only be 5 prayers? Why didn't he just give him 5 prayers from the beginning instead of making him go back and forth? But you have to realize something. Everything that Allah does has wisdom in it. There's wisdom and there are lessons for us to learn. Why make him go back and forth? Is to let us realize that the objective of our creation is to worship Allah. Meaning we should be praying 50 prayers, but because of the mercy of Allah, it's also to show us the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be praying. Because why? Because Allah, you know, everything that we have, like for example, if I asked you, what is the chair for? That's used to sit on. Well, what's the spoon for? It's used to eat. But what are you for? What were you created for? A lot of our youth, they don't know. And if they do know the answer, they don't live it. They know the answer, they still don't live it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, we should be praying 50 prayers in a day and night. But if we were to do so, would you have any time to go work and so forth? How many times would we be praying in a day? How in an hour? 5 minutes. And how many minutes would you have for the next prayer? If we had 50 prayers, come on, some mathematicians. About 20 minutes, right? A little bit, around 20 minutes. Almost every 20 minutes, you would have to get ready for the next prayer. You would have to get ready for the next prayer already. But you know what? That's what we should be doing. Because Allah created us for that. That's what we have been created for. to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And worship, of course, isn't just in Islam. We know that it isn't just prayers only. It's everything that we do that pleases Allah. So being kind to your parents is pleasing to Allah, and so that's worship. Having hope in Allah is pleasing to Allah, and that's worship. Fearing Allah is worship, so that because that's pleasing to Allah. Everything that you do that is pleasing to Allah is worship. So as a youth, you have to, as parents and as youths, we every step that we take, we have to ask ourselves, is this pleasing to Allah? And especially when you are in this stage in which you're a youth, when you have the energy. Because when you're older, شَبَابَكَ قَبْلَ هَرَمٍ, take advantage of your youth before old age. Because when old age comes, you will no longer have the energy and the strength. You will no longer have the energy and the strength to get up and go to the masjid maybe every time that you're, for the prayers. You might not have the energy and strength to fast. You might not have the energy and strength even to stand up and pray. You might not have the energy and strength to sit down and read the Qur'an and learn your deen. So take advantage of the time in which you're young. And make sure that you take that time to learn about your deen. And it is very important. It is very important to find the correct people to hang around with. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-mar ala deeni khalili. A person will follow the ways, the religion or the way of his friend, his best friend, or his companion. So be careful whom you befriend. And if you want to know a person, then look at who he befriends. If you want to truly know that person, look at the people whom they befriend, whom they hang around with. Because it affects that person's personality, religion, beliefs, and way of life. And so you have to be careful of whom you befriend. And you have to be those who love people who are good. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَا يُحِبُّ الرَّجُلُ الْقَوْمِ إِلَّا حُشِرَ مَعَهُمْ. The people, a person, will not love a people except that he be raised up with them. So our youth, those who are concerned about these movie stars, these sports stars, these musicians, these so-called idols, who are they going to be raised up with? Who are you going to be raised up with? And the person will be with those whom they love. And so you have to take advantage of this time, especially to seek knowledge. And have the concern in your heart. Because, the people before, just in their youth, when amongst the generals, Muslim generals, Uqba ibn Nafi', he was a young man. He was just 25 years of age. And he was with the Muslim army. And they had conquered everything between in North Africa. And so then he went and he saw the Atlantic Ocean. He saw the ocean. And look at his concern. What's his concern? His concern was conveying the message of Allah, La ilaha illallah, to people. And so he said, Wallahi, by Allah, لو أعلم أن وراء هذا الماء أرضا. He said, if indeed, by Allah, if I knew that there was some land behind this water, لخطه بفرس هذا رافعا راية لا إله إلا الله. He said, if I knew that there was land behind all this water, I would have gone in. I would have gone with my horse, carrying the banner of La Ilaha Illallah. He would have continued if he knew that there was land here, past this all this water. And that's the kind of concern that they had. Then when you look at the concerns of the people nowadays, the concerns of the Muslim youth nowadays, it's much different. You see, the percentage of the people who are here compared to the people out there is much different. That means we need to do something. We need to go out there and call the youth to Islam. Bring the youth who are here with us and call them back to the masjid. Call them back to the seeking of Allah, seeking of knowledge. Because there will come a time when you will not be able to. When you will not be able to. It's either because of old age, and maybe before that. Maybe there will be fitan. There will be fitan and trials and tribulations that you will not be able to go. But the Muslims might be persecuted. But you know, when we read the Quran, we see that Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was a young man. But he stood up, he saw the wrong. He saw the wrong around him. And he stood up. And he said, you know what, worshipping these idols are wrong. And he went out to change it. And the youth in Surah Al-Kahf, إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدًى وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا. And they were a youth. And they stood up. Where did they come from? They saw people worshipping idols. But they didn't stand still. They wanted to change them. And so they stood up. إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ. That our Lord, it's not these idols that you worship, not these people that you worship. He is the one, the sustainer, the cherisher of the heavens and the earth. The Lord of the heavens and the earth, that is your Lord. And that is our Lord. And they stood up and they were persecuted. But they stood up, they didn't stand still. Allah gave us lessons. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them. Took care of them even though with all the trials and tribulations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions them and their story will be read and is read and will be read until the day of judgment. Because they saw things that were wrong and they went, these were youths. Young people, a group of young men that went out and changed. And in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Kahf was revealed right before the Hijrah to Habasha. It was to let the people know that if you stand up, you youth, if you stand up, you can change things. And that's why after 300 plus years, when they woke up, they were being persecuted before, when they escaped to the cave. But when they woke up, after 300 plus years, what did they find? When they went out with their money to buy food, what did they find? They found that the people had accepted La ilaha illallah. That all the kufr outside changed. And so this gives us hope. This gives us hope that you, in times of trials and tribulations, you might see a lot of kufr, but you stand up. Maybe you, and maybe not you, but maybe your children or your grandchildren, maybe they'll come out. And when it's time to pray, in the middle of Birmingham, when Allahu Akbar is pronounced, the greatness of Allah is pronounced, all the shops are closed. It's a lesson for us. And these are the ones, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about these youths in this story, for us to reflect and give us hope when it comes to the youth. And so take advantage of the time that you have as a youth to learn, and the people who are responsibility, make sure you take care of them properly and teach them properly and have, you know, concern for them. Just because they're young, you don't just look down upon them and think they can't do anything. So sometimes it's good when they are able to take responsibility, you might want to pass the torch on the responsibilities in the masajids and their activities and so forth. Pass the torch on to the youth because they are the future. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Laysa minna," he's not amongst us, those who do not, who are not merciful towards our young, nor are they disrespectful or not merciful towards the elders also. So there has to be both ways. When you love the youth inshallah will respect you and love you also when you care for them. And so this is something that we should take care of. And again, as I mentioned earlier, look at activities in our masajids and our communities. Make sure that we're being fair and proportionate and we're giving them their rights. If they are the majority, then they have to have the majority of the activities also. If the women are half of our community, then they deserve that. They deserve their time also to learn their deen. So because they will be raising the next generation of children also. So take care of them. And this is the age in which the youth are full of energy. And at the same time, there's a lot of trials and tribulations for them, and we have to understand them and treat them the way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam treated them, and care for them, and be concerned, and have them also be concerned correctly about conveying this religion to religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he was, you know, he was just a boy when he accepted Islam. When he did so, he went out and recited the Qur'an. He was one of the first people to go out publicly to recite the Qur'an. He was beat because he did so. But he had the concern for the deen. He had to let the people know that he had to let the people hear the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, just, you know, from as Muslims, we have to worry and take care of our family members and take care of one at a time, one person at a time, whatever you're responsible for. Quit blaming the people, blaming our times that we're living in. A lot of times we blame the times that we're living in. Na'ibu zamanana, wa la'ibu fina, wa laysa li zamanin na'ibun siwana. So we blame the times that we're living in. All the time. But there's nothing wrong with the time we're living in. The only thing that's wrong with the times we're living in is us. So we have to take it one step at a time. Correcting our family, and then our communities, and those who are in charge, make sure you take responsibility and teach them properly. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to strengthen the Muslims, the youth, the children, the women, and all the Muslims, and forgive the Muslims, those who are alive and those who have passed away. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds and make them sincere for His sake. صلى الله على نبينا